Well, this morning we're going to continue in our family series we've been doing for the last couple of weeks. You may not realize this, but beginning on Mother's Day, we kind of began a family series. And we plan to continue that throughout until Father's Day. So speaking to the moms and dads on certain days, but in between, speaking to families. That's why last week we talked about parenting. And I don't know about you, but it spoke to me. As a dad, I needed to hear some of those words. And so it was healthy for me to hear, and it moved in my life. Hopefully it did yours as well. But if you have your Bibles, if you'll open them, let's begin in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Today I want to talk to you about peace in the home. Peace in the home is not just something for moms or dads. It's for everyone. If you're a cousin, an aunt, an uncle, a son, a daughter, a brother, a sister, and that's everybody in the room, then this is for you today. So I don't want you to think, hey, I can check out. This is not for me. Peace in the home involves all of us. And honestly, when it comes to peace in the home, many of our homes are not characterized in that manner. Instead, our homes would be characterized by conflict or tension or strife. I believe that if God had something, He has something way better in store for us, and He wants our homes to be peaceful and happy, but He can't force that on us. It's up to each one of us. It's up to us to decide we are going to have a peaceful home. Now, some of you may be thinking, you know, Chad, you're right, there is some dysfunction in my family or in my home, but it's not my fault. I'm not the one that's the problem. Okay. you can think that way if you'd like. But how many of you would honestly say some of that's true because in every family, mine included, maybe not your immediate family, but even your surrounding family, your family members, there's always a wild card, the crazy pill. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're laughing. All right, I want to prove this to everybody in the room. So if you would admit that you have a bit of a wild card in your family, we just lift your hand up. Look around. Look around. Now, I want you to notice the hands that are not raised. You might just be that wild card. So just a heads up there. Maybe you're going to be enlightened today that maybe you're the problem. Relationships are just difficult. They're challenging. And it reminds me of Connor and Tessa. My two children, when they love to wrestle with me, they love to wrestle with each other. And if I've been gone on a long trip, the first thing we do when I come in the door is I'll come in the living room and they want to tackle me and take me down and we wrestle. And sometimes they get into their own wrestling matches. And with any siblings, I remember this when I was little, with any siblings, that somebody's always going to take it too far until someone's hurting. And then the other one's got to retaliate to make sure that one's hurting. And before long, they both come running to me. One of them's crying. One of them's trying to say, I didn't do it. And they're looking at me. And one will say, he hurt me. And the other one will say, but she hurt me. And then they look at each other. They smile and they say, let's go do it again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I remember doing that myself. And so often in our dysfunctional or unhealthy family dynamics, sometimes it boils down to, you hurt me. No, you hurt me. Let's go do it again. And again. And again. And we end up in these challenging relationships instead of a home of peace. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe you're trying to raise your kids and your mom keeps looking over your shoulder, giving you advice that you really don't need. And there's this tension between mom and daughter. Maybe you're the kid. You're the teenager. And mom and dad are always saying, hey, let me see your phone. Or what have you been watching? Or who are you hanging out with? And you feel like they don't trust you at all. And there's this tension between the parents and the child. Maybe it's your kids. The kids just can never get along. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, there's just always tension amongst the kids. Maybe you're even a blended family. So you've got his kids or her kids and you're trying to figure out how to work that, how to parent both ways, both sides, and there's all kinds of tension. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. This is Jesus talking. These are the Beatitudes. We're going to focus on one Beatitude today. He says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Now, in order for this to sink in, I want us to say this together. If you don't have your Bible, it's right there. I want us to think about what we're saying as we're saying it. So let's say it together. Here we go. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Let's do it again. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, your peace is already in this place. And I pray that that peace would just begin to soak in to some of us who maybe don't have much peace at home. May we take the peace that we have here. It's a peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. May we walk out with that peace today. And may we begin to use that in our home. May we be known as a home of peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, when we were talking about parenting, and we used the scripture, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And we talked about the Hebrew word for train. I love using the original meaning of the word because we can sometimes skew what we think a word means. So in this scripture we're looking at today, I want to look at the word peace. The Hebrew word, well, let me just say this. When we think of peace, we think of calm. We think of an absence of trouble. We think of relaxing, sitting on the beach somewhere. It's peaceful. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. It's actually been used as a greeting for many years. Shalom. And it means more than just the absence of peace. It actually means, I wish you the highest good. I wish you the highest good. That means the best. Jesus doesn't just want us to have an absence of trouble. He wants the very best for our lives. Can you say amen to that? It's not just the absence of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. He doesn't just want you to have a strife-free home, but he also wants you to have the best. And when Jesus said this, everyone listening at this Sermon on the Mount would have been shocked to hear these words. The same as, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." These kinds of things were countercultural statements because everyone there had been raised with the mindset of an eye for an eye. If you hit me, I hit back. If you take something from me, I'm going to take back. And Jesus was saying something that was very different to that. Blessed are the peacemakers. There is a higher calling for those of you who want to follow me. Notice he did not say, "Blessed are the peacekeepers." He said the peacemakers. Peacekeepers, there's a big difference there. Peacekeepers often avoid conflict to keep the peace. They're not willing to actually approach an issue. They want to skirt around it in order to keep the peace. Peacekeepers work around an issue, not through it. So we kind of get to a place where we just say, "Let's just not talk about it." You can sense the tension there. So let's just leave that over there on the table. So we get together at family dinners. Everyone's smiling and act like we're all getting along, although there's tension behind the scenes. But we don't want to show it. The only problem is those small statements that are made that tend to just get to us. And rather than approaching that issue, now I'm not saying you have to sit around and fight with your family all the time, but rather than approaching that issue, you just let it go and you try to keep the peace until it builds up, and it builds up, and after a few months, it all blows up. And you find yourself saying things you really didn't mean to say. Where did that come from? And where does it come from? It comes from dozens of unresolved issues along the way. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." So what does a peacemaker do? A peacemaker will embrace conflict to keep the peace. We're not going to work around it. We are going to work on the issue. We're going to work through it. And we have the help of the Prince of Peace. Aren't you glad for that? We're not striving. Church, I've said this several times over the last few months, and I'll just warn you, you're going to hear it again. We're not just striving to be a Christian home. Lots of people say they have a Christian home. We're striving to be a Christ-centered home. And yes, there is a difference. In this church, I want not only this church to be a Christ-centered church, I want each family to be a Christ-centered family. It's different than just saying, yeah, we're Christians. Yeah, we go to church. We are a Christ-centered family. Everything we do revolves around Christ. That's the difference. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 and 18. I'll put it on the screen for you. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And look at verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on who? As far as it depends on who? You live at peace with everyone. You cannot blame everyone else for the lack of peace. You have a part in this. That is a powerful statement. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And for those of you sitting here thinking, oh, I wish so-and-so were here to hear this because Lord knows they need it. Let God speak to you. Let God look into your heart for just a moment. He'll deal with that other person later. But today, this is for you. Verse 21 of the same Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 21. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but instead, we're going to overcome evil with good. This reminds me of every superhero movie I've ever seen. They all are the same. You've got these evil people who want to take over the world, and you've got these good people, these superheroes, Superman, Batman, whoever you want it to be, Star Wars, whatever it is, we've got the good that needs to overcome the bad. And usually, they'll even suck one in. They'll find somebody in these superhero movies that gets sucked into the evil side. But before long, when the good comes around and finally wins, that person will come back to good. It's really easy to get sucked into the evil. One statement is all it takes. And all of a sudden, you want to make a statement back. All of a sudden, your thoughts go negative. Your thoughts go evil. Well, if they're going to say that about me, I'll just say this. Very easy to get sucked in to the evil. But we overcome evil with good. This is straight from God's Word. It doesn't get any easier. Let me back up. It doesn't get any clearer. I didn't say it's going to be easy. I don't want to confuse you there. So what do we as peacemakers do? I want to give you three things. I believe they're on the back of the bulletin for you today. So if you don't have a bulletin, you can take notes. Otherwise, they're there. The first thing we do as a peacemaker is speak the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, it says, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way, more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body. We speak the truth in love. I love that line right after that. Notice it says, growing in every way, more and more like Christ. This is not your opportunity to go around giving everyone your opinion. Well, I'm just speaking the truth in love. And you're just telling everybody how you feel. No, in the process of speaking the truth in love, you're also to be growing more and more like Christ. You'll know if what you're saying is right or wrong. If you're growing more and more like Christ, a Christ-centered home will tell the truth in love, not yell the truth in love. We are to speak the truth in love. Now, since we're on this first point, there's two subpoints, so I don't want to get you lost. Listen to this. As we go into this speak the truth in love, there's two things I want to make sure you don't do when you want to speak the truth in love. Number one, you don't want to do this during the middle of conflict. If you've already got a discussion going, that's not the time to go, hey, while we're on this, let me address some things you do. That's not the time to do it. That's not how this works. Find a time when things are going well, and it's not that you're going to mess up what's going well. You're just going to say, hey, while things are going well, I have something I want to share with you. Number two, we attack the issue, not the person. We attack the issue, not the person. I remember when Courtney and I first got married. We're trying to figure this out. We're still trying to figure it out 15 years later. Marriage, it's a fun thing. It can be great. Sometimes it can be hard. And I remember not fighting fair. I remember not having the right words to say in those times when we were in conflict. Here's what I would do. She would approach me about something that she didn't like, and we're in the midst of an argument, and my first response would be, yeah, but you, and it may not have anything to do with what we're talking about. I just wanted her to feel bad since I was feeling bad. You know what? Are you with me here? I see some heads nodding. Okay. It's very easy to want to just go, yeah, but you do this. If someone interrupts you all the time, let's work on some ways to say this. If someone interrupts you all the time, you would say, when you don't listen to me, I don't feel like you value me. That's the statement, that you're approaching the issue, not the person. Let's try another one. If someone continually lies to you, when you lie to me about something really insignificant, I find it difficult to trust you. You're approaching the lying, not the person. Do you hear what I'm saying? You're not just coming at them. You are speaking the truth in love. You are telling them how you feel and how this makes you feel. One more. When you continue to check your phone at the dinner table, I think I hit a few people on that one. When you continue to check your phone at the dinner table, I was talking about me, the rest of us feel devalued. We're confronting the issue, not the person. There are healthy ways to speak the truth in love. If you're being hurt, you need to talk about it. You need to let someone know. But there's a right way to do that. Number two, we apologize when we're wrong. That's easy, right? James 5:16. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. I like it. Here it is again. So that who may be healed? Let's try that again. So that who may be healed? We're confessing our sins to another person. We're going to pray together so that I may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I want you to think about this for a moment. How much healthier would all our relationships be? How much more peaceful would our homes be if we would just be willing to admit when we're wrong? Apologize. You know what? I just went off on you and I shouldn't have done that. Can you forgive me? Let's pray about it. Even have that person pray for you. You know what? The humility involved in that is going to speak volumes to that person, and it's much easier to forgive when someone is willing to admit that they were wrong. We apologize when we're wrong. Peacemakers apologize. We admit specific actions without excuses. We don't say, I'm sorry, but you did this. I'm sorry I looked at something that was inappropriate, but if you were meeting my needs, you wouldn't drive me to do that. That's not an apology. That's pathetic. We apologize for specific things. I'm sorry you got your feelings hurt, you big baby. Doesn't work. That is not an apology. Let's try this. I'm sorry that I belittled you in front of your friends. Can you forgive me? I should have called when I was late. I'm sure that you were worried. I'm sorry I raised my voice. That was disrespectful. Please forgive me. Understand, there's a big difference between remorse and repentance. I'll let that sink in for just a moment. I'm talking a lot. There's a big difference between remorse and repentance. Remorse says, well, I'm sorry I got caught. Remorse says, I'm sorry we're having this hard time. I'm sorry your feelings got hurt. Repentance says, I was wrong. I sinned. Will you forgive me? I'm sorry for my mistakes. This is something to think about. I want you to think about mistakes versus sins. We can say, I'm sorry for mistakes. Sins, we would say, please forgive me. The difference, okay? Just so you kind of understand what I'm saying. If I leave the toilet lid up, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Okay? So, I'm sorry. I just did. I left the toilet lid up. If I lie to you, then please forgive me for lying, for not being truthful with you. There's a big difference in those two as well. So we speak the truth in love. We apologize when we're wrong. And number three, peacemakers forgive and let go. I could spend the entire time on this one. This is probably the one thing that is spoken about the most in churches is forgiveness. Probably because it's the hardest thing to do. We forgive and let go. I have to tread gently here because there's always a lot of pain, especially with our family. When it comes to forgiving someone, there's always history. There's always years built into this because we've known them for years. We've been with them for years, and it just continues to build up. And I think the longer it goes, maybe the harder it gets. How do I forgive? Well, I'm not going to tell you it's going to be easy, but it's doable. Look at your neighbor and say, it's doable. It is doable. It's incredibly important for a Christ-centered home that we forgive and let go. Colossians 3:13, Paul said this, bear with each other and forgive one another if you have a grievance against someone. Then it says this, forgive as the Lord forgave you. How do we forgive? As the Lord forgave us. If you think about it, how many things have we done that are unforgivable? Yet we stand here free, forgiven, thanks be to God. I'm telling you, this is a tough one. I've been praying this entire week that the Spirit of forgiveness would be in this place. That some of you have been just holding on for so long, unable to let go, that today would be your day. Today would be your day. Let me talk about four ways we damage the forgiveness process. When we apologize, we continue to argue and justify our behavior, not an apology. If you say, yeah, but you did this, which drove me to that, that's not an apology. We withhold forgiveness and wait for an apology. If they'll just come to me, then I'll forgive them. That is not what Jesus said, is it? Thank goodness we didn't have to just do anything. He just died on the cross for us. He just decided, I'm going to do this for them. Knowing what's coming, knowing what they're going to do, no matter how bad it's going to be, I'm going to do it anyway. No matter how bad you've been hurt, you can forgive. Number three, we unnecessarily and unwisely involve others in our conflict. We love to pick up the phone and say, can you believe what happened to me? And finally, after forgiving, we take every opportunity to bring it up in the past. We kind of keep it in our pocket, waiting for that moment when we need it to pull it out again and say, remember what you did to me. We have to forgive and let go. And can I tell you something today as we're talking about families? Family is worth it. Family is worth it. The Psalms indicate that the family is a reward from God. They should be one of the greatest sources of joy and fulfillment and happiness in your life. It should not be a negative word in your heart and in your mind when you hear the word family. No family's perfect. Sometimes people will hurt you, and somehow family members know you the best, so they can sometimes hurt you the worst, but they're worth it. According to Proverbs 6, God hates it when there's discord between brothers. It breaks his heart. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever caught yourself talking more friendly to a neighbor or a friend than you do to your own family? As Christ followers, we have to set the example. Just as much as it's important for us to bring other people to the kingdom, do you realize when we can't get along with our own family, we're doing a disservice to the kingdom? We're hurting exactly what we're trying to do because we look no different than anyone else. So it's up to us to find a way to get along, to be peacemakers. Second question, would your family consider you a peaceful person or an argumentative person? If you think about it, Christianity spread throughout the globe with love, submission, and not with aggression. Jesus didn't just come to give us life after death. He didn't just come to defeat death, hell, and the grave. He also came to defeat strife, anger, and confrontation and hatred in our household. And if you want to follow Christ, when someone strikes you on the cheek, we are to turn the other one. When someone asks for your shirt, we're to give them the coat as well. We don't do this. When our marriage is going tough, we don't just say, you take your stuff, I'll take mine, and let's get out of here. We don't walk away from our children when they make a bad decision. We don't give up on them. Family is worth it. We don't cut them out. We show mercy. We show love. We show grace. And we forgive just as we've been forgiven. My children have the unfortunate trait of looking like me. I hear it all the time anywhere we go. Man, your children look just like you. I can totally see the resemblance. One good thing about that is they are identified with me. Everyone knows them as mine. And church, when we are trying to keep the peace, when we are doing the things to keep peace in our homes, to keep peace with everyone, guess who we look like? Our Heavenly Father. We look like our Heavenly Father, created in His image, conformed in the likeness of His Son. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they would be called the children of God. They will speak the truth in love. They will apologize when they're wrong. They will forgive and let go. Will you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, speak right now. Speak to the hearts and lives in this room. Release the hurt and replace it with peace. If you're in this place this morning, you say, Chad, you're speaking to me. I have some unresolved issues. I have some hurt that I need to let go of. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you forward. I merely want to pray for you. I just want to know who you are by an uplifted hand. Anybody in this room? Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Lord, you are speaking right now. Anyone else? God, I pray specifically for those who have been hurt, wounded, betrayed, abused. God, I pray for misunderstandings. And I pray that you would give us the power to do everything possible to live at peace. I pray that you would help us to have the courage to confess when we've done things wrong, when we've done things to hurt others. May we be willing to confess that. May we be humble enough to ask for forgiveness. God, what the enemy has tried to steal, We're no longer slaves to fear, God. You have made us your children. And I pray for miraculous restoration in this room right now. God, for families, for marriages that are hanging on by a thread, I pray that they would be brought back together. For parents and children relationships, for sibling relationships, for cousins, aunts, uncles, whatever it may be, I pray for restoration in this place right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen? Come on, God is good. God gave us a beautiful day to go enjoy today. And I know many of you are going to get together with your family. What's the one thing we can do? We can overcome the evil with good. We can speak the truth in love, whatever it may be. We can apologize. We can forgive and let go. Man, walk up and surprise that one that you know there's tension. Walk up and give them a big hug and knock their socks off. Can we do that? Can we do that? So just show the love of God and have a Christ-centered home. It makes a huge difference. I love you, and I want the best for every one of you. I want the best for my family. And Jesus Christ has it waiting for each one of us. So as you leave today, may you go with that faith, knowing that God's going to do something awesome in your life as you have just released whatever it is that was you were holding on to. As you let go of that, let God just give you peace that passes all understanding today. In Jesus' name, have a great day. We love you.